Let's open up the Word of God tonight and dig into this passage of Scripture here in Galatians chapter number 5. And as you find your place here in Galatians 5, would you please stand for the reading of God's Word if your health allows you to this evening? And would you please stand for the reading of God's Word, Galatians chapter and number 5. We're going to be in this passage of Scripture here over the next several weeks, and tonight really just over the last about week and a half, 2 weeks, I've been praying about this passage of Scripture. And we're going to skip forward just a little bit. I feel like the Holy Spirit is kind of leading for us to jump ahead. We're going to come back and hit several verses over the next several weeks. But I just felt like as we are closing out the end of this year, that this is really a passage and a word that we do not concentrate much on. And so this evening, we're going to read several verses. We're going to concentrate on one word tonight. And once again, over the next several weeks, as we meet on our Sunday evening services, we're going to gather right back in here and learn more about this passage of Scripture. It really is action-packed. It's a lot for the Christian living in 2020, 2021. And I trust that the Lord is going to meet with us as we dive in here. Galatians chapter number 5. Would you look with me at verse number 16 and follow along as I read Galatians chapter number 5. Look with me at verse number 16. The Bible says this: "This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. These are contrary one to the other, so that ye cannot do the things that ye would. But if ye be led of the Spirit, ye are not under the law. Now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revilings, of such like, of which I tell you before, as I have also told you in time past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God." Verse number 22. "But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law." This evening I'd like to look at this passage of Scripture and preach a message entitled Controlling 2021. Controlling 2021. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, I love to sing these Christmas carols, these hymns, even Hark the Herald Angels Sing. Lord, it's really one season a year that we get to sing these songs. But Lord, there's so much in them. Lord, we concentrate on the words. Lord, it glorifies you and it honors you. Father, thank you, Lord, for the music this evening. Father, I believe that it has set our hearts in tune for what you would have us to hear this evening. Father, this evening service on a Sunday night really anymore is not even popular, as many churches do not take place or take part in a Sunday evening service. But Father, as we look around the auditorium, there's many people tonight who have even brought their families who are visiting from other states. And Lord, we've come here for one reason. It's not self. It's not to talk in a fellowship and talk about the bowl games coming up or what's going to take place or even what happened this past year. Father, if our hearts are really in tune and right, it's really to be more like you. That we walk out of these doors, Savior, emulating the life that you lived and would have us to live. Father, I ask, Lord, that would be our goal tonight. That, Father, we had put off the worries of yesterday's and the concerns of tomorrow. And, well, Father, would we just concentrate on you for just a moment? Thank you, Father, for preserving this passage of Scripture that is so applicable for us living today. Savior, I ask, Lord, that you would hide me behind the cross. Give me the words to say this evening. That, Father, once again, we would be more like you as we walk out tonight. I love you, Savior. Your Son's holy and precious name I pray. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. In this passage of Scripture, Paul has just walked us through really the works of the flesh in verses number 16 through verse number 21. We are reminded to walk in the Spirit. Why? Because the Spirit and the flesh are constantly battling one another. If you have been saved for any amount of time, you begin to realize that once you got saved, it's not that sin doesn't enter your mind anymore or that you're not tempted, but no, very quickly you and I realize that we still are very much in a battle each and every day. We're reminded in this passage of Scripture that we must empty ourselves of the flesh so that the Spirit can have free reign. There must come a moment or times in our life when we begin to realize and look at our lives, and when we look at our lives mirroring the Word of God, we begin to see very quickly that there are things that do not belong there. In fact, if you have, I know it's a Sunday night crowd and more of a family type of crowd tonight, and if you've discipled anybody or you've been around or maybe counseled someone, I think very quickly there are those that begin to realize through those talks or through that discipleship that, you know what, there's a real problem in my life, and that problem is that I'm concentrating on self, or that there is so much flesh in me that the Spirit doesn't really have room to fill us with those things that the Spirit would want to fill us with. There must be that emptying of self. In verse number 22, the Bible states here that first word, but. That little word is the hinge upon which great events and great truths turn. In this passage of Scripture, it is the same. We see in verse number 21, now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these. It begins to list out. They which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. Man, I love when we come to verse number 22, and it doesn't stop there. It doesn't stop with this negative, but it ends like there. It begins like this, but, and it heads into the fruits, what we call the fruits of the Spirit. Over the next several weeks, we're going to dive into the fruits of the Spirit, and again, we're going to take it and just follow the Holy Spirit a little bit this evening and kind of come to a word that I want us to concentrate on tonight. But the first three fruits of the Spirit really are emotional truths. It's the truths that we look at, or the fruit that we look at, that is that emotional fruit: love, joy, and peace. We look at the word love. Love is the sum and the substance of the Christian life. It all began with love. If you were to take and try to define, or maybe one definition of God would be this, that God truly is love. It's who He is. Then we come to this word, joy. Joy is not just another word for happiness. No, human happiness depends on what happens. Joy smiles in the face of even the most adverse of circumstances. If you take one of the worst circumstances that maybe we look at, and even in history at the time, for those that were there, we look at Calvary and what took place, and it was not a very joyful moment at that moment. But the Bible records in Hebrews chapter 12 and verse number 2, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the, watch the wording here, joy that was set before Him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. Joy takes even Calvary in its stride. Then we come to this word peace here. Jesus said, "My peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you." It is Christ's legacy. Think about this. The word peace, and I'm going to move quickly for just a moment, but I just want you to buckle your seatbelt for just a moment so we can get to into the main part of this message here, but I do want to kind of set a precedence or a foundation here for us quickly. If you think about His legacy willed at the edge of Calvary by the Prince of Peace Himself, it was His peace. The Bible says in Philippians chapter 4 and verse number 7, "The peace of God which passeth all understanding." Can you imagine the peace that Jesus had on this earth is the very peace that He gives to you and I? There's somebody in our family might say, "Well, look, yo, we're going to take care of this. You're going to be okay." Now, look, everyone who says you're going to be okay, we have to understand that they don't really know that we're going to be okay. There are many over this season of COVID that have been to the hospital, and a doctor may look at you, or a nurse may look at you, or anesthesiologist may look at you and say, "Well, it's all going to be okay." And there's a peace that we get from that, but it's not the same peace that the Prince of Peace gives you and I. It was Jesus. It was the very definition of who He was on this earth. When we think about Christ on this earth, oh, you can imagine that there's a storm raging. And boy, everything, it was horrible. And that even the disciples began to think, we're going to die out here on this sea. And yet, where is Christ? Where is Jesus? Where is he? And isn't it amazing how much peace he had that the Bible records for us that he's actually sleeping in the boat? Can you imagine? Now, that's real peace. My kids, I feel like they can sleep through just about anything. In fact, yep, Nora is already out. Rose is getting close. They can sleep through. We are coming downstairs. I can say it's about Nora because she literally is already asleep. But you don't have to wake her, London. Just leave her alone. She'll be okay. We'll wake her up. Let her sleep, for goodness sake. It was so funny, but Nora said, coming downstairs tonight. We're upstairs. We're coming down the stairs. She said, is this going to be a long service? I don't know. Ask your mother. She wrote. No, I'm just joking. But the peace. And here's Jesus, and he's in there, and he is sleeping. Can you imagine the demonic man that... A maniac of Gadara. I mean, nobody even wants to get close to this man. He is crazy. He's living up in the hills. He's living up in the tombs. He's living with the dead bodies. And no man, the Bible records that nobody can control him. People don't want to be around him. He is wild. And yet, Jesus walks up to him with just absolute peace. That is our Savior. When there were those men that were there and spitting upon our Savior and buffeting him and hitting him and punching him and blindfolding him and slapping him across the face. And here was our Savior. And can you imagine the peace that had to be in his heart to be able to sit there and to take that? I understand the Bible records legions of angels. Yes, we know he could have called 10,000 angels, but let's be truthful tonight. He really did not need them. He's Jesus. He's the King of Kings. And yet, can you imagine the peace that he had sitting there being able to take that? Well, I'm telling you, if there's anything we can learn from our Savior, it's this, that he was just, he was the very foundation of what peace really is. We see the first fruits of the Spirit are emotional. The next three are really evidential. They're evidential. They provide visible proof of some great work of God that has been wrought in the believer's heart. We think about long-suffering. You're not going to have a short fuse. You're not going to fly off the hat. But we have plenty of patience. If there was ever a year where we had to exercise patience, it was 2020. Gentleness, that word is used it's a kind of a word that means kindness or goodness of heart. As Christians, this ought to be in our lives each and every day. Goodness, it's a reflection of the goodness of God. The next three fruits of the Spirit are elemental. That is, they are the ultimate basics of the Christian life. We have, first of all, faith in this passage of Scripture, verse number 22. For without faith, the Bible says, it is impossible to please God. Meekness, it's not weakness, but the Lord Jesus described himself as being weak when he said, take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart. Then, if you look at verse number 22, look at it with me. It says this, goodness, faith. Verse number 23, meekness. That last word, temperance. Against such, there is no law. Have you thought about lately the word temperance? In our English language, it's really not a word that we use too often. I dare say that it's been a little while since anybody in a normal conversation back and forth between someone has used the word temperance. This is something that, yeah, love, joy, peace, of course, we use that all the time. But gentleness, goodness, I mean, yeah, absolutely, yep, that's good. Meekness, not so much. But then we come to temperance. It's really not a word that our vocabulary we just often use. You see, many problems in life are related to a lack of temperance. People feel like in 2020 their lives are out of control. Pressures and circumstances seem insurmountable and at times even overwhelming. It's the world that you and I live in. At times, even through this past year, the last decade, stuff has been happening so fast that they really, it's almost overwhelming at times, the schedules pre-COVID that you and I kept with with school and with sports and with raising kids and grandkids and the busyness of life and the ups and downs and the ministry and the local church and this. I just feel like at times 2019 and 2020, if you begin to look at your calendar then before everything just came to a standstill, it really is amazing what everything we had going on was almost hard to keep up. As we look at the meaning of temperance, let's learn the importance of this word in the life of you and I living today. Number one, if you're taking notes tonight, would you write this down? Number one, temperance defined. Number one, temperance defined. The word temperance defined as self-control, or in our English language, discretion. The Bible puts it this way in Proverbs chapter 3 in verse number 21. The Bible says this: "My son, let not them depart from thine eyes. Keep sound wisdom and discretion, so that they shall be life unto thy soul and grace to thy neck. Then thou shalt thou walk in the way safely, and thy foot shall not stumble." Isn't this what the Christian life should look like? This is the very foundation of all of us. It should be the very foundation. It is having self-control. If there was ever a day and age that you and I lived where we have to practice self-control, that day and age would be right now. Can you imagine in 2020 everything that we've had to put up with? I mean, to be honest with you, I've probably had 3 or 4, 5, maybe 6 conversations today about a little thing called masks. Some are for it, some are against it. In California, I mean, we've been wearing them since March. I mean, I literally, Mary, you know, everybody has their routine. You go through, guys, I got my wallet, chapstick, keys. Wallet, chapstick, keys. When I walk out of the door, that's what I look for. Wallet, chapstick, keys. I try to forget my phone, okay? I just leave it at home. Wallet, chapstick, keys, phone. You go through that every time. And in California, we've been going with these forever. Wallet, chapstick, keys, phone, mask. Wallet, chapstick, keys, phone, mask, gloves, hand sanitizer, hazmat suit. You just keep it on and just racking up, right? We've been going through self-control. How about self-control on social media lately? On social media, and boy, everybody has an opinion about everything. We're all politicians now. We're all doctors now. We're all surgeons now. We all know we are experts in pandemics now. I mean, it's just, we are all masters of doctrine. Boy, this is what it's leading to. I'm here to tell you, the Lord is coming back. Now, it has nothing to do with Israel. It has nothing to do with the Middle East. Nope, it's the mask, and it's, you know, and the alcohol that's in the this, and it's not good for you. It's like, everybody, we have become experts in everything. And you jump on Facebook or Instagram, Twitter, you watch the news for a second, I tell you, we have had to practice self-control, even with family members and with folks around us, or getting our coffee. And everybody has an opinion. Everybody wants to say everything. Can I just tell you, as Christians living today, you and I ought to be known for, yes, sticking up for the Word of God, but also practicing self-control. It ought to be us. Don't raise your hand, but how many have ever written out a text before? Oh, buddy, I'm going to let them have it. Boy, they think they're just who you think you're talking to. And before you hit send, you didn't push send. You waited. About an hour later, I'm so glad I didn't send it. Who cares? You typed out an email, and boy, you're letting them out. Or maybe you're a little old school, and you're writing out that letter. Ding, ding, ding. And you're just going to let them have it. And you get that paper out, boy, you read it, and listen to this, honey. Boy, I'm going to let them have it. Boy, this is sure going to show. This is going to get it. You wait a little bit. Who cares? Guess what that is? Self-control. It's temperance. It's a controlling of who you and I are. It's understanding that sometimes when we approach these passages of Scripture, it almost seems as though, you know, we're going to be okay. It's not. Well, we've read this a million times. The fruits of the Spirit, good grief. We've heard everybody preach through this. You know, Pastor Aaron went through this. You know, Pastor Chris went through it. I did this in my devotions. I've been through it. I've read it. But, you know, if you and I would stop for a moment, in fact, the Bible says, "Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth." But when we really begin to dig in, when we really begin to see, watch now, what this word means, it's not that we can just skip over it. Well, we got meekness. goodness, you know, grace, peace, okay, those things we really want to work on. But if we're going to control 2021 in the most basic of definition, we have to understand this. What does temperance mean in our life? If you and I really are saved, if we have the Holy Spirit living inside of us, that means that you and I are going to become more like Him. And that's not just when we got saved, okay, we were more like Him, and boy, we saw a big change in that guy's life. No, no, it's a constant growing. It's a more like Him each and every day. It's getting in the Word and letting it just so get inside of us that we begin to grow and to be more like Him, want to be more like Him. And we don't want to be verses number 16 through 21. No. We've put all those things away, and if we're going to be this verse number 22 and verse number 23, then we're going to be more like our Savior. Then we're going to see what this definition is, and the definition is self-control. But number two, would you write this down? Number two, temperance displayed. Another definition here of temperance is discipline. Think about that for just a moment. Discipline. Paul said it this way in 1 Corinthians chapter number 9, verse number 24, says this. Know ye not that they which run in a race run all, but one receiveth the prize, so run that ye may obtain. And every man that striveth for the mastery is temperate in all things. You catch that word in there? Listen now. Don't tune out. Temperate. Now they which do attain a corruptible crown, but we an incorruptible. I therefore so run, not as uncertainty, so fight. I, not as one that beateth the air, but I keep under my body and bring it into subjection, lest that by any means I have preached to others, I myself should be a castaway. Paul is comparing the Christian life to an Olympian whose life is characterized by discipline, check it out now, and self-control. Every goal, my friend, in life means nothing without discipline. There is no gold medal for the athlete that does not possess self-control. You and I, think about it for just a moment. We're about to head into January 2021. And as we head into this new year, there are many that get out and we have, we write down, you know, new year resolutions. I'm going to do this. I'm going to do that. Understand that without discipline, those new year resolutions, it's never going to come to pass. Well, I want to lose 10 pounds. Gary, is that not always my goal? I mean, I remember heading into 2020, and I said, literally, if you go back and look, I'm going to lose 10 pounds this year. And praise the Lord, I only got 15 to go. But every year, all right, I'm going to read through the Bible. Some of you are just now getting that. I just saw you. You just started laughing. It's okay. You'll catch up here in a minute. But when we write down these things, understand, without self-control, we're never going to lose that weight. We're never going to read God's Word. We're never going to be the wife we desire to be, or the husband we desire to be, or the teenager we desire to be. Without some self-control in our life, watch, there is no accomplishment without the fruit of temperance. Christian, we ought to be known for a disciplined life. Well, Pastor, how do we get that? Well, we ought to have a disciplined spiritual life. A disciplined spiritual life. Now, let me pause right here for just a moment. We think about leaving 2020 behind and heading into a new year. There's a lot of things that we think about. In fact, isn't it amazing how much planning goes into life? Carrie and I, over the last, I couldn't believe it, it was just 2 weeks ago, everything began to really just take place. And we're packing a house, and we've got people coming through the house, and we've got inspections on our house, and they're in California, and trying to negotiate, we're trying to do this, and last minute things here, and I'm closing out a semester of college, and I had about 6 classes that I'm teaching, and closing that out, and all the last minute leadership team meetings, and saying goodbye to friends, and packing a truck, and this, and driving across the country twice. It really is amazing, but we would have never been able to accomplish all this with really kind of a plan. Like we didn't go into it like, oh yeah, we leave tomorrow, so maybe what do you think we ought to do? Go buy some boxes or something? I mean, we had a plan. We were ready to jump in, and by the time we got here, it, I just honestly, I want to tell you tonight, this is our family tonight, and I just want to tell you, I do give all the honor and glory to praise to our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. He protected us on the road twice coming across the country. And man, that was with my 11-year-old driving half the... I'm just joking. Twice coming across the country. I mean, from our house selling to being able to purchase a house here to... I feel like here, we have to praise the Lord tonight. I just want to tell you, family, and just tonight... vocally and in this audience, I praise the Lord. He just really enabled us to be here tonight. I don't want to talk about long because I'm going to get all choked up and crying. That's not my, I'll add another 3 minutes to the sermon. So I just praise the Lord. But it took a lot of planning. So let me ask you this. Your spiritual life for next year, are we ready? Yeah, I'm going to go join the gym and LA Fitness or whatever I saw over here. I'm gonna get in there. I'm gonna get my cholesterol down. And boy, I'm gonna lose some weight. And honey, I'm gonna finally fix the roof. I know you're tired of putting the buckets under there. It's dripping. And this is my year, baby. We're gonna get that done. Or I'm gonna plan this. Okay, but how about our spiritual life? Fathers, where are we heading in our devotions next year? Moms, where are we heading in our devotions next year? We thought about it? Have we mapped it out? Well, I don't know. I've just kind of always done the same old thing. Well, is that the relationship that we want with God? Because I'm pretty sure if I came to my wife and said, you know, we're good. 15 years we've been married. Same old thing, you know. Go through another year. I said, whoo, no way. God wants a relationship with us. So are we going to work on our relationship with Him? Is it going to take maybe purchasing a devotional book? Maybe this year mapping out the Psalms or jumping into Psalm 119 and do just one verse every day and research it and study it out. Maybe this year, maybe you won't read through three times this year through the Word of God, maybe two, and slow down and concentrate on a little bit more. Maybe just one time this year, concentrate on read through the entire Bible one time. But have we even thought about our prayer life? Amazing how much we set and we are ready and we DVR or whatever you may do to watch our favorite show, and boy, we've got it on. We got it ready. We know tonight what's going on. I mean, everybody knew what time the Colts were going to be playing today, and you know, give the Steelers their fourth loss in a row. Well, we all knew. Wasn't it amazing how much we planned out? What time we get home? What time we can be in front of? What time we got the TV tray? And we got this on. We got it, and we're going to be able to make it back to church and work out just right. And we go through all these plans, but have we even thought about how we're going to approach God each and every morning? It's self-control in our spiritual life. It's self-control stopping for a moment sometime this week. Maybe just with an old-fashioned pen and paper and just get it out and just begin to write down. Like just spend an extra 10 minutes of prayer with Christ every day. I want to read through the Bible this year. Maybe it's getting together with the spouse and saying, you know, it's been a long time since we've actually read the Word of God together. Maybe instead of turning on the TV at night, before we do any of that, maybe we just ought to sit down as a family and just open up the Word of God and read five verses, just five verses. That's it, five verses. And then go around the table and what'd you get out of that verse? What, how'd the Lord speak to you? Wow, that's good. Oh, preacher, we got a lot going on. We're so busy. And boy, I'm just telling you, our family's not together much anymore. And you know how it is, preacher. We don't eat around the dinner table anymore. Yeah, we got a lot going on. Yeah, I understand. But if we're not careful, I'm just here to tell you, we will schedule Christ out of 2021. If it fits in, well, I'm telling you, boy, it's already, my watch has gone off four times, and don't forget, well, I got to go, I got this, I'm getting back with this. No, it's a disciplined spiritual life. It's this self-control. It's understanding, it's disciplined in the way that you and I speak even. Can you imagine that? A disciplined spiritual life. Maybe it's a disciplined physical life, being in shape or taking care of our body, saying no to some things. A disciplined life in our speech, the way that you and I talk to one another. The way that you and I interact, not just with those around us, but how about those that work with us? How about the place that we get our coffee? It's amazing in the Word of God how much is spoken about speech. You know, the Bible says, wherefore putting away lying, speak every man truth to his neighbor, for we are members one of another. The world that you and I live, it's really amazing the amount of lying that takes place. Politicians are so corrupt. Whether you are red or blue, it's not a political speech tonight, but I just tell you, there's a lot of deception that took place in this last election. Proven deception. You know what the world is looking for? Truth. Somebody just speak truth to me. Somebody tell me the truth. You know what our kids are looking in us? You know what our grandkids are looking up to us for? Truth. Grandma, grandpa, what about? You know what they want? They don't want a stretched out lie. They don't want an exaggeration. You know what they want? Truth. If you had one question to ask Jesus while standing on trial, what would you ask him? You know, Pilate asked him, what is truth? Jesus answered that question in the book of John, thy word is truth. What people are looking for today is not a little white lie. It's not a stretch. It's not a, no. They're looking for an employee that is truthful. They're looking for someone in college that is truthful. The spouse that is truthful. Discipline in speech. The Bible says, let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. Language. Insults. He that is slow to anger is better than a mighty, and he that ruleth the spirit, he that taketh a city. The Bible says, be kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. What if you and I, now listen, what if you and I this year were disciplining our speech? That means this, our speech ought to be such that you and I are encouragers. Don't you, just by an amen tonight, don't you love being around somebody who is encouraging? Say amen tonight. Amen. Okay, let's try it again. If you like being around somebody that's encouraging, say amen. Well, if you don't say amen, then who do you like being around? Oh, yeah, I love being around somebody that's just that Eeyore. They just discourage me. Oh, woe is me. Nothing's going right. Nobody lives like that. Are you kidding me? We all love to be around somebody who encourages. It's one of the hardest things about masks is not being able to see if somebody's smiling or if they're joyful or if they're mad or angry. I do love it. There's one thing I really love about it. There's probably two things I really like. Number one, I like that you can yawn under a mask and nobody sees you. Isn't that great? Like some of you tonight are like, oh, man, I would never even know. I'm like, well, they are into this message. Isn't this great? I love that. And then I love that you can take it and you can put it up over your eyes and you can just go to sleep and you can actually breathe. It's an amazing option. But you and I ought to be known for encouraging. It's the type of person I am. I like to be positive. I like to think well. I remember we had a deacon once, and we were in this building project, and onto the auditorium. We're taking out all the sidewalls of the auditorium. The Lord was just blessing and growing. And we're taking out, man, the contractor got the bid so wrong. And I'm not a carpenter, and the studs are here, and this is a load-bearing wall. And, so I'm just like, well, it's not a big deal. Put up a load somewhere else. I guess it doesn't work like that when you're talking about a big auditorium. And we were just so far off, and this deacon was getting kind of, it's me, I'm positive. Well, we just got to do it. We're going to have to, let's raise the money, let's put it up. I mean, we just got to, I'm just positive. You know, Christian, what Avon and Indianapolis and the surrounding area needs is the family of Cross Point Baptist Church to be that positivity in the world. They're looking for somebody to be a light. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. They want to see something that's real and truthful and encouraging. May that be our life, a disciplined life, is a spiritual life, physical life, maybe a disciplined speech, but also disciplined thoughts. Temperance is also manifested by the way that you and I discipline the very thoughts that we have. 2 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse number 5 states, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalted itself of the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. Before a wrong decision is ever made, opinions are first formed in the heart. That's why the Bible says, keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. This is a battle that, listen now, friend, you and I are facing today. It's our thought life. If there was ever a day and age where I'm just telling you, I know we have a mixed crowd here tonight, and I'll be very careful, but I'm just telling you, there is wickedness all around, from the billboards to the commercials to the things that pop up on our phones nowadays. It's just the wickedness of this realm and this world is so accessible. If there was ever a day and age where we need to preach from behind our pulpits, that college student, you ought to be careful what you're looking at. Be careful with your thought life. Every teenager in here that has a cell phone in your pocket, you ought to be careful with your thought life. Be careful what you're looking at. Every mom, dad, husband, wife, everyone in here, what is accessible to you and I today was not accessible 15 years ago, and yet we carry it around. And friend, I'm just here to tell you, marriages are being destroyed today. Churches are being destroyed today. Men are coming out of the pulpits. Why? Because their thought life, they have not discipline, and it's out of control. And I'm just here to tell you, it will wreak havoc on the Crosspoint family if you and I are not careful. It's our thought life. It's discipline. It's getting it under control. Isn't it amazing that we can come into church now just what? We can come into church and boy, everything is good and great, and it's you know, we got our Bible in hand, our ties all fixed, and well, we just look good, and we're smiling under our mask, and well, it's just great. And nobody knows that, man, it's been a rough week. It's been hard. We can fake it till we make it. There's many marriages that have walked in the doors of churches and they're holding hands and everybody thinks they're great and wonderful and wow, isn't that amazing? And 2 weeks later, they're in divorce court. There's many teenagers that have walked in here and they've got a Bible in hand. They talk to other teenagers, but as soon as they hit 18 or they hit college, they want nothing to do with God anymore. Why? Because man looketh on the outward appearance, but God knows our heart. You and I may be able to fake it. You and I may be able to get away with it. You and I may be able to. But I'm just here to tell you, friend, God knows, and He sees. He knows what is in here. It's temperance defined and displayed. But lastly, would you write this down this evening? It's temperance developed. Temperance developed. Sometimes I believe Christians have Bible doctrine learned flawlessly, but they forget obedience is from the heart. Oftentimes we dig into a passage of scripture like this and, well, we've got it down, we've got it memorized, and yeah, I've been here a lot of times, and well, we got the doctrine of temperance down, but the obedience has to come from the heart. So how do we control 2021? How do we, watch very carefully and we'll close out, how do we apply the very simple word of temperance? How do we apply that to our lives? How do we get it in? How do we walk out these exit doors and we get in our cars and we go, and how do we, well, it was good, you know, there's a message on temperance, and well, music was good tonight, it was great, and it's good. But no, how do we take it with us? That means this, how do we apply it to our lives? Because that's the ultimate goal, listen, tonight. It's not to come in and we did our religious duty by being in church tonight, and even with family and friends in, we could have been somewhere else, and we could have been here, we could have gone here, but I guess we'll attend church. No, it's not a religious duty. The ultimate goal of being here tonight is for you and I to be more like our Abba Father. So how do we apply this? Well, letter A, your number one tonight, would you write this down? Admit your weakness. Admit our weakness. James chapter 1 and verse number 14, but every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed. Then when lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin, and sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. Do not err, my beloved brethren. You and I must recognize and admit our weakness and avoid those places of temptation in our life. That means this, we have to ask, no matter what it is that the Holy Spirit is convicting us in tonight, we have to admit that we have a problem. It's the very first step. Well, I'm here to tell you, preacher boy, I know who could have used this message tonight, and they are not here this evening, you know, but I'm going to tell them, you need to jump on live stream, and you need, whoa, before we start picking out everybody else, what about us? Isn't it amazing, I'm raising five kids right now, and isn't it amazing how often, maybe not your kids, but mine sure do, isn't it amazing how kids tell on each other? Well, surely it's not only my kids. Your kids do that, right? Give me a nod. Okay, good. We're all in the same boat. Boy, they tell on each other. Boy, I'm telling, so-and-so did this, they did that, and they hit me, and they did, and we love, I mean, kids will tell on each other. Isn't it funny, kids never tell on themselves. Mom, Dad, I just took a cookie. Nobody ever done. No. You say, well, my kid sure did. Yeah, right here. Let's go back and talk to Lion a little bit more. You know what I'm saying? It's amazing how we can point out in everybody else's life, but you know, sometimes we have to point out a weakness in our life. Lord, I'm sorry, I'm weak in this area. I lose it. I haven't practiced temperance in whatever it is that God has given you tonight in your life. It's admit, but secondly, we have to forget our past. It was Paul that stated, brethren, I count not to have myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do. Listen to the wording here. Don't tune out. Watch now. Forgetting those things which are behind. You do realize what Paul went through. You do realize this was not a man living in 2020. Well, I can't wait to be over 2020 because, you know, we had to use a lot of hand sanitizer. I'm just telling you, I even think this pointer finger's getting a little cracked here. No, it's not Paul. Paul went through a whole lot more than what you and I have had to endure this past year. And there's been maybe even here a lot that have had to endure a lot. Paul went through a lot, and here's what he said. Forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize, the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. It's time that you and I realize, yes, there are some things that I need to get right, but there also you and I have to realize that we cannot control what happened in the past, but we can control our future. There's a lot that don't practice that discipline in their life, watch now, because we're constantly looking back at what happened, back at somebody who hurt me. Back at what I had to take. I didn't deserve to get fired. I didn't deserve to go through that. I didn't deserve that name calling. I didn't deserve to be treated like that. I didn't deserve to have that cold shoulder. I didn't deserve to be blamed for that. I didn't deserve. And we're constant. Yeah, you know, I really work on this temperance thing. But to be honest with you, I'm telling you what happened in 2018. I just want to be honest for a minute. Let's just talk about this for a little while because this is where we're going to live. No, I'm telling you, friend, if you and I truly are going to take temperance in, if we're really going to apply it to our life, then we have to admit some things. And sometimes admitting some things and saying, Lord, I may have not always been treated right, and I really in my heart feel like I shouldn't have been treated that way, but I'm going to move on for the cause of Jesus Christ. Because, friend, while you and I at times sit around, and while you and I sit here, and we're down in the mud, and we're down in the muck, and we don't understand why this is happening, I'm just going to, we are going to miss those who want the gospel, or are looking for something, or are seeking truth, and they're all around us, and we'll never see it. Why? Because we have not allowed temperance to be in our life, and we're living a life that happened 15 years ago, instead of moving on for the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Yeah, forgetting the past is not always easy. Isn't that the way that we feel sometimes? Like, yeah, you know, that's good. You know, it's for somebody in here, I'm sure. But yeah, I said, look, some pain in our life is not always just so easy to overcome. Abuse that took place, a divorce that happened, a death in the family that's sometimes hard to comprehend.
Please don't get the picture tonight that I sit up here and just get over it and move on. No. Sometimes it is hard. But if we're going to allow God to control 2021, we're going to have to be like Paul, and we've got to press toward that mark. And that's not always going to be easy. But greater is He that is in you than he that is in the world. He'll help you. If we're going to see a real change, we have to admit, forget our past. But we have to believe that God can bring change. The Bible says that be ye not conformed to this world. You ready for this? But be ye transformed. What a word. By the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Friend, your beliefs, listen now, your beliefs will determine your behavior. It is imperative that you and I believe that God will help us to overcome. Because He is the overcomer of overcomers. He is God. He is the I am. Have you ever been in a situation in your life where truly you just felt like, and maybe you don't mind me sitting here for just a moment, you just kind of, you sit in a position of, yeah, I've done that before. Yeah, I've prayed that before. Remember a time that you were down at the altar? You knelt, maybe it was just right here. Or maybe it was just right over here. You remember right here when you prayed, Lord, forgive me of this, and I just want to be done. And you're right here, and never going to do it again. Remember that time? Or you sat where you sit? Recall it. Did you believe that God could help you overcome? Or were you just kind of slinging it out there? See, temperance is discipline, and that discipline has to come in with the foreknowledge that God can help you and I. It's who He is. It's what He does. Temperance. We have to admit, need some help in this area, Lord. We're going to have to plan out. Need to control. Need more discipline. I've missed it. We were at home so much this year. You know why? I was not in my Bible any more than I was in 2019. I didn't get any more read than I did in 2019. Yet we spent hundreds of hours in our homes. Several weeks not even meeting here in church. Yet, no planning. We didn't plan. Maybe we've got to start moving away from the past. But we definitely have to believe, God, you'll help me. God, you got this. Temperance. Controlling 2021.